All right. Good afternoon. Welcome. Thank you for taking your time joining this session on building the perfect Windows 8 image. My name is Johan, and I will be your host for the next 75 minutes. I've been an IT guy since I was about 10. I started to work with IT when I was 16. I used to go down to a local computer shop after school and help them assemble computers. And that's what I got into deployment. And I've been doing that ever since. And I'm older now. Turned 40 this year. Yeah, it's a... Thanks. So now it's downhill, right? I have to apologize slightly. So in the beginning, I didn't bring too many slides. But I brought a ton of demos instead. I hope that's okay. If you have any questions, feel free to either shout them out, and I will be happy to repeat them, or find a microphone. I don't have to repeat them. I'm also monitoring a Twitter feed. If you take the session code that you have in the right-hand corner, you add a hashtag and TE in front of it, TE for TechEd, I will actually see that feed over here on this laptop. So if you want to send in questions through Twitter, you can actually simply use this hashtag, and I'll see them here as well. I don't guarantee I will be able to answer them all during the session, because I have pretty much content to cover as well, but I promise to answer them before I close for the evening. All right. We have four pillars that I will recite on in this session. The first one is generic component standardizations around creating good reference images and why you should do it. Then I will focus on the platform I recommend using to create those reference images. And later, the final two pieces of the session is where we'll actually put down that and put them into production usage. And the solutions we're going to demonstrate, or I'm going to demonstrate when doing that, is both MDT Light Touch and actually Config Manager, because those are the only two real deployment solutions that Microsoft actually provides you with. That being said, how many of you are still on XP? A good few of you. Compared with XP deployments, everything changed actually with Windows Vista back in the days, because that's where Microsoft started to do imaging all the way. XP was still a scripted setup, even though most companies did use images. But an XP image is, well, about half gig in size if you don't add any applications to it and just don't add the installation files. But the Windows 8 or Windows 7 image, because that's what we see most now, Windows 7 and Windows 8 deployments in a mix, mostly Windows 7 actually, and they are at minimum 2 gigs in size, and that's the 32-bit version, which most companies do not deploy, but the 64-bit version is close to 3 gigs in size. So we are talking about the factor 6 in size, not percent, but a factor. And add in Office to it and add in a few updates, and you easily have images now going 4, 5, 6 gigs in size. So when you do deployment projects in Windows 7 and in Windows 8, you actually are more likely to start stage content closer to the clients. I also see more of offline media solutions, offline deployment solutions, than I saw in the XP timeframe, simply because the images are so large or so big. Now, when I go into a deployment project, and that's my work, that's what I do from day to day, working as a consultant, going from site to site to site and implement deployment solutions. Now, in a project, I fight quite hard to have a thin image. And a thin image means an image without any applications to it. I still consider an image to be thin, even though I add updates in it, even though I may add .NET framework in it, maybe I will add a few application runtimes in it, like C++. I still consider it to be a thin image. So what's the core benefit of having a thin image? Well, for one, it's easy to test, especially when you test drivers. It's a quick deployment. My record time so far to deploy a Windows 7 image, but it's about the same for Windows 8. It's 5 minutes from starting deployment to finishing deployment. That was to an HP box with a local solid state, and I will drive into deployment from an offline USB 3 stick, which really was a solid state drive in itself because it was a Windows to Go stick. And I had UEFI enabled. Without the UEFI, it took 6 minutes. Most deployments today, they are typically like half an hour or so. But it's technically possible to lay down an image in 5. All right. 4 minutes, I hear someone from the front row. That's really impressive. Anyone below 4? That's for the record. 4 minutes is cool. I haven't seen that yet, but I'm hoping to at one point. Maybe you can show me. Yeah, cool. So a thin image allows me to be flexible at deployment time. The thinner my image is, the more stuff I can do when I deploy it. So for example, if you have 25 apps in an image, you're pretty much stuck with those apps. I mean, technically you can uninstall them when you deploy it, but you don't do that. So if you have a thin image, you can have lists of applications for different sites, for different departments, for different people, for different machines. And we can dynamically create these lists. So we have a single core image that we use throughout our global enterprise, but depending on where we deploy it, it will end up very differently. The more stuff you put into an image, the less flexible it becomes, and the more costly it will be to actually maintain that image, and the more often you need to update it. So sometimes you can't go with a thin image. One of my first gigs in the US, it was almost 10 years ago, I went to a customer in Birmingham, Alabama, in the absolute middle of nowhere. Tried to find a taxi. No. They don't have it. All right. I need a rental. Anyway, I did my usual speech about having, you know, thin images. And then they told me, well, we like that idea. We really do. But one of our departments, it's a CAD engineering company or department. We had an SLA with them. We need to deploy their CAD stations within 2 hours if they fail. And they had quite many apps on those, big applications. So there was no way I was going to have a thin image and being able to deploy all those apps and still fit it within 2 hour window. So for them, we actually created a thick image, whereas the rest of the company had a thin image, which didn't need those thick applications. So, of course, it depends, and you can put yourself in a happy medium as well. You can have a hybrid. You have a few basic apps in it, and then you deploy the rest at deployment time. Something that was quite common in the XP days, even though it wasn't needed, was that people actually staged drivers into the image. I even seen companies that have image per model, 40 different images, 40 different images, because they had 40 different models. No need, not today, because when we create reference images, we do it without the drivers. Drivers are being injected at deployment time. Okay. When using or choosing a way to create a reference image, I highly recommend to find an automated solution so that your reference image will be equally good every single time you build it. If you want to make sure I'm freaking out completely, show me a 12-page document printed that has the title that says what to do when create the new reference image. And then it's a manual procedure every single time you need to create that reference image. If it's not automated, it's not quality. Because if you do everything manually, the chances that you slip one time is massive. And it turns out that the tiny error in the image, it doesn't exactly go away because you deploy it to 1,000 machines. It's like worse. Ask the bank in a Australia, who tried an image that wasn't that great, to all systems, of course. Their entire data center was upgraded to Windows 7. That's bad. These tools that we can use, they have a bit of a learning curve to them. It will take you at least 1 hour the first time to get it going, and then you normally spend a good few hours more to customize them, but it takes about an hour. It takes me about 15 minutes while I do the demo, but I have sort of cheated a little bit to not waste your time too much here. So the physical platform you should be using for your reference images is none. They should be used, created in a virtual machine. In my experience, Hyper-V and VMware works the best to create reference images. I know there are virtual platforms different from those two, but this is what I've simply found works the absolute best when creating reference images. Do never, ever, ever create a reference image on a physical box, because you may end up with junk in that image that you don't want to have. A classic example, you create a reference image from an HP machine. You run Windows Update on it. It will install a few drivers, but some of the HP drivers actually come with an application, like the HP hotkeys for doing stuff on an HP. So then you take that image, you sysprep it, and sysprep will, by default, wipe all the drivers, as it should, but not the applications. So now I try to deploy this HP image to a Lenovo, which tries to start the hotkey service. Doesn't work too well. And then I go into the control panel and say, all right, I'll just uninstall it then. Sorry, this setup can only be run on HP hardware. Okay. So by using a VM, we can use snapshots, and that allows us to be very efficient when creating reference images, and we make sure we get an extremely compliant image. All right. Then we have these two fellows. Actually, I would say almost marketing terms, but they actually define solutions within Microsoft for deployment. Light touch means you do not have Config Manager, but you still want to deploy Windows. So that's MDT 2012 Light Touch. Zero touch means you do have Config Manager and you want to deploy your image through that. So I'm just curious, how many of you here actually are using Config Manager? I would say about half the room. Okay. So the question is, and it's a good question, why can't I do no touch with, why these names? These names have nothing to do with technical features. These is just marketing terms to describe two solutions. I would rather have them named like A or B, because I can have Light Touch, the standalone solution, to be fully automated. And I can have my Config Manager solution to prompt me for about anything. The difference is that Light Touch by default has a wizard. But you can say, I don't want to use it. Or you can say, I want to use part of it. Config Manager by default does not have a wizard, but there is one that you can enable. So it's all up to you guys. How automated you would like it to be. Some customers, they just love full automated. They press F12 and they just leave the room and the machine is done. Other companies, they like to have a small pane coming up for the technician where he or she can enter a computer name, select a few applications, select a role maybe, select an OU or a domain, and hit finish, and then they leave the room. So it's all up to you. It's not depending on the solution. So I agree, the names are misleading, but that's simply what we have. I did not invent those names. All right, demo time for about 58 minutes. So, I recommend, no matter what you're using to deploy Windows, it can even be third party, I recommend to use this platform, Light Touch, to create your reference images. Because the image you get out of this solution, which is free, you can use for everything. You can use this image for Windows deployment services. You can use it for light touch deployments. You can use it for VDI deployments. You can use it for Virtual Machine Manager from Microsoft. You can use it for the VMware library that you clone your VMs from. You can use it together with Config Manager. So you will have the same method, the same image, no matter how you actually deploy it. So one of the benefits of using LightTouch is actually you get a very compatible image. All right. Second, I mean, technically, isn't it so that you actually can create a reference image in Config Manager? Yes, you can. It supports it. But I think this is really valuable to have a standard throughout the company, no matter how I deploy it. And that I don't get if I do it in Config Manager, because Config Manager, if I create my ref image in there, they will actually stage their agent inside the image. And the fun part is when I deploy it through Config Manager again, they will actually reinstall the agent that they already put in the image. So you don't need an image with the agent. It will be installed anyway if you deploy with Config Manager. But you don't need it maybe for the other platforms. Now, also, the MDT platform, I would argue and say it's extremely easy, at least compared with Config Manager, because it will take, as I said, about an hour to get it going. And the cool thing about doing this is actually sort of a quick learning path to do OSD. Because it turns out the sequence engine that you use in LightTouch, it's the same as in Config Manager. It's just a standalone version. It's the Config Manager team who actually writes the sequence engine for LightTouch. As of December last year, Config Manager team owns MDT. So I would recommend to watch sessions this week that are labeled something with MDT and Config Manager in them, because there might be interesting things in those sessions. I'm just saying. Anyway, LightTouch is extremely easy, and it's extremely fast. In a deployment project, if I need to do a reference image in Config Manager, it will take me about twice the time. So it will take me in total 4 days for Config Manager. I do it in 2 in LightTouch. It's simply so much snappier when you create reference images than doing it in Config Manager. Unless you are a consultant and bill by the hour, then you can use Config Manager to do it because it will make more billable hours. Then it's also very easy to delegate. The entire LightTouch solution, the infrastructure requirements, is a folder. An SMB share, that's what you need. And if I wanted Kent over here, who is a Config Manager guru, to do my reference images, I can actually take a 5-day training class on how to copy folders. Xcopy, rich copy, robocopy, Explorer, normal copy works fine. I can simply copy the folder to Kent and say, hey, here you go. I want the result, please, and I'm going to deploy it. Another thing is that you can add a suspend action into the sequence. In deployment projects, I try to do everything automated, but then you stumble across that application or that setting that is simply very time-consuming to automate. And do I want to switch to an entire manual process because of that? No. I will take my automated process and I just add a pause to it. And in LightTouch, it's extremely easy to add a pause. In Config Manager, it's more difficult. Okay. And the final piece, when we do this, the VMs that we use goes hand in hand with this, useful for testing, troubleshooting, and it's very quick. And by using this action here, suspend, with VM and snapshots, I can be very, very efficient. All right, so how do we do this? Well, here I have a Windows Server 2012. I have installed LightTouch. It's a 25 meg download or so. And when you do install LightTouch, you get the deployment workbench. So this is the main UI for LightTouch. This is where you do the admin stuff. But if you are really hardcore, and I mean really hardcore, don't do this, you can actually just go into the folder where you have everything, and everything is stored in XML files. So if you really wanted to create your sequences in Notepad, yeah, you can. I won't recommend it, but you could. So this is just a management UI for the folder. So you create one or more folders, and when I create reference images, I have at least one. So I have one that is called MDT Build Lab. And the nodes that you can see here are stuff that I want to import into my reference image or use in my reference image. So you can add in applications. So for example, as applications, I have added in stuff that I think makes sense to put in a reference image. For example, the C++ runtimes. If I'm doing a reference image for Config Manager, why not add Silverlight to it? Because Config Manager is going to install that anyway. Why don't add in .NET Framework? Because why do we deploy Windows? It's quite often to actually run applications on it. I have seen very few customers who deploy Windows just to have it sit there. Yes, sir. So the question is, am I using script wrappers for those? Sometimes, sometimes not. In this case, I do. And the only thing that I do it for these applications is that I like to have a very uniform way how I handle applications. So for example, this guy over here, the C++ runtime for 2010. I mean, if I deploy a 32-bit image, I only need one, the 32-bit one. But if I deploy a 64-bit image, I need both, 32 and 64. Of course, it can do bundles and such, but I think it's actually quite much easier to just use a VBScript wrapper. So if I go into that application and review one of these wrappers, I simply have some logic where I, in the beginning of the wrapper, I list the setup file and whatever argument it needs, because then I don't need to remember that because it's in the wrapper. And then I have a function that, of course, installs the 32-bit one first. And then if it exists a 64-bit platform, I will also install the 64-bit version. So a very simple wrapper that will detect my OS version, and depending on architecture, I will deploy one or two applications. So if I go into that app in here, well, the command line for that app is simply C script and that wrapper. But I could as well just run in VC redist here, /Q in here. That would work as well. I mean, this is just a command line. Everything that you can execute, you can add here. So I have a few applications, and then I add operating systems, and MDT supports everything from XP up all the way to Windows 8, also the server versions. So in here, I have added a Windows 8 image. Then I do not worry about drivers, because it's a reference image, should not have any. The rare exception is if I'm using VMware, and depending on my guest configuration, I might want to add a mouse driver sample, because otherwise the mouse will stutter a little bit. But otherwise, I don't need any drivers. Do I need packages? What are packages for? Updates. So do you want to manually go to Microsoft Catalog and start to download updates one by one, once a month, and put them in your reference image? Probably not. You want to use a WSL server. And that's actually a good thing and a bad thing. So that's actually a consequence. Because if you're using Config Manager, you already have a WSS, but that one is tied to Config Manager and is, don't touch it. It's supposed to be for Config Manager only. So you actually need to have a dedicated WSS for reference images only. And that's, of course, a work that needs to be done. It will take you almost 10 minutes to set it up. And then once a month, you need to go in and approve updates. That you go into reference image. Because in LightTouch, the only thing that you have to do to have it use a SAS server is to go into the sequence that you have and enable that action. It's down here. Enable Windows Update, and you enable by going to Options and clear the Disable Action checkbox. It's logic I don't get, but that's how you do it. So you enable this action, and then you will go into the settings, which is an .ini file in the control folder. You simply specify WSAS server equals whatever WSAS server you have. And if you don't use the default port, you can specify the port as well. So that you need to set up. If you don't do it, Microsoft will go, or the sequence will go directly to Microsoft Update. It will require internet access, and you are not in control anymore. You don't know which updates are going to be deployed. If you have a local WSAS, one, the script always works, because there are issues with the script when you're going directly to Microsoft Update. If you build 20 images, two of them will fail. 18 will work just fine. But if you have a local WSAS, it works 20 out of 20, 100%. And you are in control of the drivers. So I recommend doing that. So you add in apps, you add in operating system, you add in hotfixes if needed to this folder. Stuff that you cannot get through WSAS. Or language packs. If you have support for 3-4 language packs, why don't add them to the image? They don't add too much overhead, and they're very quick to deploy. If you have 18 apps, well, I would probably not, the language packs, I would probably not put them in the image. I will have them being deployed at deployment time instead. So I create my sequences, and then I go into the sequence and I start configuring it a little bit. For example, I start to add in a new group for applications, and this is where I start to add in the apps that I want in my reference image. So in here, for example, I've added the install roles features, roles and features, and I have selected .NET Framework. I have selected 3.5, which is include, does include 2 and 3. Windows 8 comes with 4.5 by default, which includes 4, and now I have them all. And then you see I've added all the runtimes in, so I've actually added in all 8 runtimes, 1, 2, 3, 8. Because remember, these were wrappers. Every wrapper will install 2 applications. Okay. In this sequence, I also install Office, because if everybody in the office is supposed to have Office, I would say that Office is a perfectly good example for something that you would put in the reference image. It's quite big, it takes time to deploy it, and guess what? It can be updated through Microsoft Update. So I will have a fairly good image when this one is completed. So these are the steps. Create the deployment share, well, install MDT first, add the apps, add the operating systems, add packages if needed, and create your sequences. That's the bulk work. When you're done with that, you right-click your deployment share and you click update. Because what you do when you click update, you get a boot image that you can use to boot a VM. So if I go to my host here, and find a virtual machine, I'm going to go to a clean snapshot. Thank you. I will mount it on that boot image I was talking about. There is no point of adding this boot image to a Pixie server because I'm using a VM. I can just mount the ISO, it's much quicker. And it doesn't broadcast out on my network either. This is a very contained environment. You can actually have that folder I was using on the same laptop that you run as host for your Hyper-V or VMware VM. It just needs network connectivity. So now I'm starting WinP4. It will now connect automatically to my deployment share on my server. And the reason it does that automatically is because I, in that control file on the server, in the control folder, bootstrap ini, I have actually typed in clear text, the username and password, and the share to connect to. And this information is stored within the boot image. So is this not a security risk, having passwords in clear text in an ini file? No. That ISO is only on my machine. If I want to protect stuff in my machine, I can do that through other means, like NTFS permissions on the folder I have it in. I do not need to worry about the content in this file because I'm the only one that has access to that file. So if I go back to my client, I now get the wizard. And we were talking about this wizard before. I said that LightTouch has a wizard by default. I have configured this wizard to prompt me for two things. So that I can select to create an XP image. Nah, just kidding. Windows 8 image. Windows 8. And the second question is, where do I want to store it when it's done? And I'm simply specifying a network share. Now, I need to click next. And I need to find a Starbucks and stay there for about 45 minutes. Because when I come back, I will have a WIM file on my server with the runtimes, with Silverlight, if I added it, Office, fully updated, ready to be deployed. It's fully automated from here. The result is a ready-to-be-deployed WIM file. So every time you need to have a new WIM file, you need to figure out a way to start the virtual machine, select the boot image, and have coffee. Or could it be that I also, yes? So the question is, do I add both Windows 7 or Windows 8 into my WIM image? No, I normally have one WIM one OS per WIM. I know that you can use indexes and such. I use it sometimes when I create many reference images of the same type, because then it's only the delta that is going to be added to the WIM file. But other, I use actually separate WIM files. I always have. All right. So this is the only thing you need to do. Can you automate this? Yes, you can. I mean, you don't have to be rocket scientist to go into the folder again, go into the ini file, because these lines controls the wizard behavior. And if I don't want to ask for capture, I say, don't ask for capture. If I don't want you to prompt me for sequences, don't do that, but instead I will specify and say, all right, please use this sequence. And you specify the ID of the sequence. Now it's fully automated. Now I only need to find a way to create a VM. PowerShell is king. PowerShell is king. It's like Bash and DOS and VBScript all together in a big mush. It's like superior. So this is a PowerShell script that will set a few parameters, but it will create a virtual machine, it will mount the ISO, it will start deployment automatically, it will have a loop that is waiting until it finishes, and then when it's done, it deletes the VM again. So I can just have a PowerShell script I run, and 45 minutes later I have a WIM file on my server that I can use for deployment. This is pretty cool. So the question is, when I create my reference image, is there a way to hide the shell? Yes, there is. Hide shell equals yes. It's a new property that was added in update one. You don't technically need it, but for example, if you do Windows 8 images and you don't have it, it will actually finish but still leave this start screen on top of it, which you may not like. In this case, if I start to combine this with this one, I have a fully automated process. I don't really care. But if you do care and want to prevent someone from actually doing stuff, you can have this one. And there is also a property, disable task mgr, that will prevent you from doing control alt delete and spawn your processes. Yeah. If I have my PowerShell script on my blog, probably somewhere, but I can make sure I add it together with the slides for this session. Just going to make a mental note of it so you don't yell at me the next time. Note taken. All right. So this is an automated process. But as I said before, if you want to, you can add in into your sequence a pause. Down here, I've added a script. It's a built-in script, but you need to know about it. It's named like this, and I've added it after my installation of apps and after I have run Windows Update. Because when I have this pause, my VM will start, it will do the stuff, install the OS, install the apps, it will run Windows Update, reboot as many times as needed, and then it will simply abort the sequence and give me a shortcut on the desktop that says, resume task sequence. And at that point, the sequence engine is dead. You can actually deploy anything you like, install an application, do a configuration, reboot the machine 10 times. And then when you have done your manual change in the otherwise fully automated process, what do you do then? You take a snapshot, then you double-click the icon. Because we are in the VM, we can do a snapshot. Because then, 2 weeks later, if I decided that my fix that I did manually wasn't so great and I want to improve it, I can just revert the VM to that state, which is here in the sequence. And I just saved half an hour at least, for all these steps that happened before. So having snapshots and suspend actions allow me to very quickly jump back and forth through different versions of my image. And this is especially useful when you're developing your image for the first time, because you may do this, as I said, 20 times. And if you can save half an hour every 20 times, it's still a lot of hours that you can spend home with family or playing games, whatever you do. So just a way to be very efficient when you create reference image. Once you get everything in place, I normally delete the snapshots because then I have it automated and figured out, but you can keep them as well if you like to. So now I have this WIM file. It will end up in my captures folder. And then if I'm using LightTouch to deploy this image, and I will come back to that shortly, I simply create another folder for my LightTouch production deployments. So this folder, I will start to add in my production applications. This is where I start to pour in drivers for all the hardware I have. I will configure this one to join the domain and such, because my reference image share is only joining it to a work group. But for LightTouch deployments in production, I do a lot of more stuff. But I will leave LightTouch for a little while and jump into Config Manager. So I have a WIM file. It was generated through LightTouch. What I need to do in Config Manager is, of course, add it in. And it's really difficult. No, it's not. you need to right-click and you need to say add. And you need to point to the Vim file that you got in the folder you specified in LightTouch. And once you have those images in Config Manager, you can actually start to do some really cool stuff. For example, in Config Manager, if you are using it to deploy updates, I can actually right-click an image and say, all right, schedule updates. And it will list me the updates that I have deployed that are not already in the image. And I can simply say next, next, and it will be injected into the Vim file on the server side. I don't get all the updates, only the component-based servicing compatible updates, meaning not Office, but security and normal updates. But this allows you to not have to create the reference images as often as you may have done before, because you can do the delta patching in here. And the reason I recommend to have as many updates as you can in the Vim file is because of the following. In Config Manager, there is an action in the sequence that is responsible for doing updates. It's all down here. So this is the equivalent of the Windows Update action in LightTouch, but this one is in Config Manager. This one is slightly different than the LightTouch one, because the LightTouch one works. This doesn't very well. This action here has received probably more bug fixes or filed bugs than any other action in the sequence, and it's still not perfect. If you feed this step with too many updates, it will freak out. So I've seen customers adding in 1, 2, 3 copies of this action to make sure that all the updates go through. I have a better idea. Make sure your reference image is fairly up to date, because then this action works great. If you only have 5 or 7 updates to deploy, it's happy. If you have 45, not so happy. So put them in the image and life is good. And if you build LightTouch images, that step works to put in all the bulk of the updates every single time. And then this step works every single time. All right. Now, there are a few things you need to do, especially if you use the MDT integration with Config Manager. Because the default template they provide is, how should I put it? Yeah, it's broken, but it can be fixed. So, for example, in the default sequence, there is an action down here. Let me find it. This one, which by default is set to false. What this means is that if you have a reference image that was installed to the C drive and you deploy it through Config Manager, Windows will end up on the D drive or E drive or F drive or everything but the C drive. And you would be surprised to see how many applications that will actually break because Windows is not on the C drive. And it looks ugly as well. So just that is a good reason to change this. So either, if you do have reference images that are captured from the C drive, change this to true or delete it because the default action is true. So that's one option that you need to set. Another option is it's not technically required, but it's a strong recommendation. Because by default, the template looks like this. This is the default setting in Config Manager template, the MDT template, I should say. It enables the local admin password and sets the password to blank. It's really easy to log on to a machine that has been deployed by the default template. admin account, blank password. Do you see a security issue with that? I do. So either, if you don't use UDI, go ahead and select random password and disable the account. That's a good option. That's a default in the previous template, but not the newest one. Or simply set the password that is difficult, and you have that as part of your sequence. So that's something you need to do. Then, as you probably know, yep. Sorry.
You said if you have something, then randomly generate.
The question is, what did I talk about when I was mentioning UDI? In Config Manager, as I mentioned in the beginning of the session, there is, when you have the MDT integration, when you have the MDT integration, you can enable a wizard. That wizard is named UDI. And for this wizard to work, you actually need to have a password for the admin account. If you don't use the wizard, you don't need the password, and then you can disable it. So again, it's only if you want to use the wizard, and it's not enabled by default. Sorry, if there's a way to automate. So is there a way to automate computer names? Absolutely. I'll come back to that in a minute. There are, you have rich ways, many options to do that. I'm just going to config name. All right. So set that property for the image to apply on the C drive. Set a password for the admin account. And make sure that all the scenarios works, because Config Manager, like LightTouch, supports three scenarios: bare metal, refresh, and replace. One of them is broken, and that's replace, because they forgot to add in the step that makes the restore work in the replace scenario. So the only thing that you need to do is to add that step in into the sequence. Add it after the set state is 5, and yes, go ahead and go into user state and say request state store, and then say I would like to restore from another computer. That's the only thing you need to add to the sequence to make sure that every single scenario actually works as it should. If you go to my blog, which is this guy over here, Deployment Research, and you search for sequences and tips, you'll find a step-by-step guide with screenshots and everything on how to modify the sequence so it actually works all the time. And of course, these sessions are also recorded, so if you can wait 24 hours, you can simply download the video and you have it there as well. All right. So that's how you do it in Config Manager. You add your image, create your sequences, and then life is good. In LightTouch, though, you need to, wrong server, you need to do as I say, you need to create a separate folder, and then you will add your captured Vim into here. So this is your custom Vim file. You right-click and you do import and select the Vim. You add in your applications. You add in packages if you have any, since the reference image was built. And then you create your sequences. These sequences, when you deploy them, is using the most powerful thing Microsoft has created when it comes to deployment. And that's a text file. On Wednesday, I'm doing a session for 75 minutes about this text file. But I will show it to you. I will show a few to you. If I can type, I will do it. This is such text file. This is the same text file for LightTouch and for Config Manager. the sequence, when you have the mitigation, will do what this file tells it to do. So as you can see here, I have done a really complex configuration because I've added two lines into a text file that is a list of two applications. If I add this .ini file to my config manager server, that sequence will install those two applications. If you add this .ini file into my LightTouch production share, it will not install those applications. Because when you do it in LightTouch, you can't use the name of the app. You actually have to use the GUID of the app. So you have to find the application, double-click it, get the GUID, copy the GUID, and paste it in. And now it's a LightTouch operation. But the concept is the same. So here I have an .ini file that deploys two apps. Then I'm using one of the built-in options. One of the built-in options is to detect if this is a laptop or a desktop or a server. LightTouch, as well as Config Manager, does this when I deploy a machine. And then I can do things depending on if it's a laptop or a desktop. So if it's a laptop, I will install the VPN client. I will enable BitLocker, and I will put the machine into an OU, which is named Laptops. If it's a desktop, I will not install BitLocker, and I will put the machine into an OU named Desktops, and I will not install the VPN client. So a very, very basic text file. The cool thing about this file, I can simulate it. I can do it to the command prompt. I can navigate to that folder, if I can type. And I can run the gather script. That action in the sequence that is named gather, I can run in a command prompt. So I can run it right here, and I can review the output. I can either watch it on the console, and I need to be a real quick reader to do that, or I can simply open up the log file. And I can see the result. Because in the beginning, you will see that the gather process actually learns quite a bit about your machine. I'm just going to start Sumit here. All right. Sumit is this utility to do stuff like that and to zoom. But you can see a lot of values and properties are being read here. For example, it figured out that my serial number was this. I'm using that model, and that's much memory. It's apparently a laptop. I'm not running on battery. I did not enable UEFI in BIOS, and things like that. And everything that you see here, you can use as condition. And I decided in my example to use the is laptop condition. So I will see in the end of this log file that it actually detected that this was a laptop and added that to the list of apps. So it now built a list dynamically of three applications, two because it was default apps, one additional because it was a laptop. Now, what if I wanted to do computer naming, as the gentleman asked? Well, I can use the same stuff here. I can say a very simplistic way of using naming is OSD computer name equals laptop dash percent serial number percent. That's a way of generating computer names. And for desktops, I would say DT and the serial number. And then I can test this. I can run this simulation again, and I will review the result. And I can see that, where did it go, my friend? Here we go. If I would have deployed this computer, it would have given the name LT dash and the serial number. Something I would like to warn you about if doing naming of computers like this, serial number can be quite long, especially if you use VMware, they can be really long. And a computer name can only be 15 characters, and that serial number is like 24 or 25. But MDT will still, and Config Manager will still simply add it in. during deployment and it will break. You will get error 31 in the log file, which means you have a too long computer name. So what you can do is, of course, you can say, all right, just give me the first five characters of the name. So you can add VBScript logic directly into this init file. So if I was have another VM, this is actually a built-in component in both Config Manager and LightTouch that will detect the VM platform that you are using. So if I go up here, is VM obviously false, right? I was running it on my host. But if I would go into a, let me start up this one. And by the way, if you are doing demos and labs and tests and stuff, get solid state drives. It's the best gift you can give yourself, ever. If I go to a virtual machine, and let me just see what any file I have here. And run a simulation, it will actually be different. You can probably see here that here we go. It actually detected that it's a virtual machine, and it actually detected which virtual machine it is. It's running Hyper-V. So the follow-up question, how can I use that? Well, I just happen to have an example. This is one example, that if this is a virtual machine, I will actually install the integration components for Hyper-V, which I would not do for a physical machine. So it's quite useful. All right. Yep. How do I select among all this init file? I'm using an undocumented switch to the gather script. This is when I do my simulation. I can simply specify a slash init file colon. In Config Manager, the settings package that I'm using in my sequence has that init file. So if I go down here and find my gather action, you can see that gather action ties this file in this package, which of course corresponds to a folder where I have my init file. So you can have one sequence or many sequences using a single package, or you can have multiple sequences using multiple packages. In LightTouch, well, it's per deployment share basically, even though you actually can add in multiple init files as well. You can add in more gather steps to reach out and get other init files too, if you need to. Now, on Thursday, I'm doing a 75-minute session around drivers. I will give you the 4-minute version of that one now, because we need to worry about those when we take this image and goes into production. So starting with Config Manager, what I recommend that you do is, well, first of all, import your drivers. Don't worry about organizing them into folders like you did in 07, because there is no point. Because if you have a folder, You can right-click, but you can't import into a folder. You can only move them afterwards. But rather, during import, tag them instead. Because when I import a driver and specify a folder where I have some drivers, sources, I can tag them with a specific category. And everything that you tag them with, you can search for in the console, which makes it really easy to create and change and edit packages. So I do organize all my drivers into packages per model basis. That's my base recommendation. So having one package per OS per family. And when I double-click that package, of course, I have added all the drivers that are being tagged with that model in this list. 2 seconds. One thing I've learned the hard way, when you go to drivers here and you want to remove them from a package, don't select it and click delete, because it will delete it from every package that is using that driver. Rather just edit and add or remove it from a package. Much better. Yes, sir. So the comment is, can't I simply just grab the like generic drivers that I really need, like network storage and video, and just add them to the package and then allow Windows Update to do the rest? Technically, yes, it's an option. I normally don't do it. I normally take model by model and make sure everything works, and then I have that as a standard in the environment I'm deploying for. So the follow-up comment is, I went to someone yesterday who recommended that. Well, I don't. I'm a total control freak around drivers. If I allow Windows Update to do my driver updates eventually, I don't have a base set of drivers. I don't know if it will work the next week or in 2 weeks or 4 months. I'm hoping it will work, but I don't know. So in general, I only update drivers afterwards if needed. If I have a laptop with a wireless driver issue, yeah, then I will download that driver from the vendor and push it out afterwards. I will, of course, update my app package so that any new deployments will have it, but I do like this every single time to make sure it always, always works. It's a little bit more work up front, yes, but it's doable, yes. So the follow-up comment is, I have 120 models. My record so far is 296. I did not create packages for that customer. The largest one I've created packages for is 125. It took me 9 hours to import them into the console in a PowerShell script. But that's about as many as I would recommend to put into a sequence. Well, if you go to my blog, you can download the script already. Because that's the only way to migrate drivers created unsupportedly in CMO 7 into Config Manager 12. And that I did too. There is also a script to do the same thing in LightTouch if you search for it, but I recommend doing them per model basis. It's more work, but it helps you in the long run, unless you have extremely massive amount of models. The almost 300 model customer I was talking about, well, you don't create that many packages. You're trying to consolidate, you try to do something, but not for that. I mean, just the testing would require an entire team to do it. The fun part is actually in this room as well. It's even more fun. I won't name you Quentin. I would not do that. That would be mean. For LightTouch, I do the same thing. But in Light Touch, I actually create folders. So I create folders which are, you know, OS family and model. And then, of course, I add my drivers for each model. Even though they are visible, like Config Manager, in multiple folders, the same drivers, they're not being stored twice. It's still single instance. So if I import a store of 40 gig drivers, it normally takes like 15 in the file system, something like that. What you do need to do to make this work is go into the sequence and change the default behavior. For the default behavior is plug and play only. And you need to say, hey, sequence, please. Instead, I add this property in. It's one of the built-in properties. And I say, hey, use this property. Because as you saw when I run the simulation, if I go back to my log file, I can search for model. And model is my model name. And as long as I name the folder exactly this, I will have a match. And then it will find a driver. And what I also do when I do this scenario is I go into the inject driver action and I say, turn off plug and play. And this label here means turn off plug and play. I don't know who wrote, well, actually I do, but I don't know why they wrote it this way, but this means turn off plug and play and put everything I have in that folder in the driver store. Because the reason we have a driver store in Windows Vista and above is that if you as an admin, either in Config Manager or in Light Touch, make sure that the driver is staged in that store, a normal standard user can actually deploy it. So if you know that your users are going to connect a phone or a scanner or a printer or whatever, you can still inject it and make sure the driver is there. So when they finally inject that device, boom, the driver goes away. And it will work unless it's a special printer driver. I won't mention any names, but HP may call a co-installer that is going to run a setup, because when you print the paper, the application is going to sing for you, play a little tune, display colorful things in the tray, and to install that application, you need to be an admin. But if it's a generic, normal driver, life is good. Have a question, sir?
Yeah, just a quick question. Well, I guess that's not working. I'll yell anyway.
Yeah.
OHP, whoever, the drivers are already in the driver store, and they should be newer than the date of the last service pack, so you can actually look for those. Could you not create a sequence before it blows away the drive to pull the drivers out of the driver store, store them somewhere temporarily by model name or something, and then have another sequence to inject those drivers back afterwards, saving you the effort of downloading everything from the vendor's site for every model? So that way you could have a semi-universal.
If I try to summarize the question, can't I, isn't it so I can steal with pride from stuff I already have? So if I have a machine with drivers already, can I simply grab those drivers? It depends, most time you actually can. Because if you go into a driver store on a modern OS, and I do not count XP to that one, so in System 32, you have the driver store and you have the file repository. Here are all inbox drivers and all third-party drivers that you have already added for this machine. And what you can do is you can simply sort by date, and then you will find all drivers that was added that are not the inbox drivers. And I could use those to create the package in Config Manager or import them into a folder in Light Touch, so save me some time when I create these packages. Can I do it as a sequence? Well, you cannot nest sequences. That's the problem. You can't do it in Light Touch, you cannot do it in Config Manager. So you can't really have two sets of doing that. And you can create a small sequence, which the only job it does is to go out and grab drivers. There is actually third-party vendors here at, I don't know if Deploy Expert were here, but I think Angle is here. They actually build some solutions around helping you do that, to reach out and grab drivers. Third-party extensions to Config Manager and similar management systems. SendWorks. But so yeah, you can grab drivers, but in general, I recommend to go to the vendors first, unless you're happy to get the machine from the vendor, which is untouched, because they normally stage the drivers on that machine. So you guess they'll boot it up in WinP and get the drivers from it. Yes, sir. HP has a download utility, the Softpack Download Manager, yes. Yeah, it's a pretty neat tool. The only feature with this tool, it's using FTP by default. And not all customers allow that. But of course, there's a fix, and that it's finding the folder where it's installed, and you find the executable file. This is here. And you run it /?, and it will give you nothing. So instead you use strings from sysinternals and pipe it to a text file, because then you can open that text file in Notepad and you can search for this. Can't type either. Force then. An argument. Read command line arguments. A listing of all the undocumented switches. So if you run it -force HTTP, it will actually use HTTP instead of FTP, which is useful. So total sidebar. All right. Yes, sir.
Images in a reference machine, virtual machine, right?
Yes.
How do you handle machines, because all these driver databases are running after the deployment's laid? Certain RAID controllers are obviously required to get to that point. So how do you handle those, since you wouldn't have those from your reference image?
There isn't a single driver in the reference image that I need. Every driver that is needed for the deployment is being injected, and I can show you here. This step here in LightTouch, it's in the pre-install phase, which is actually in WinPE. So the boot image has, of course, NIC and storage drivers to it, but it will actually inject it offline into the WIM file, including storage controllers, so that the store has them, including the boot critical one, when it boots up. So there is no need to add any more. LightTouch doesn't support that for XP, but Config Manager does. But just because it's not supported doesn't mean you can't do it, because you can. So you can have a VB script that injects even storage for XP offline this way, because that's what Config Manager is doing. These drivers are being pulled from the repository on the server. So the boot image does a net use back to the deployment chair, and if it's Config Manager, it's a net use to the distribution point, or the equivalent of net use, and data will download the updates that is matching that filter. In this case, I was doing by model, but there are a lot of options that you can do there.
Careful what you put in there, obviously, because if you put control point or certain chipset drivers in there, you're going to basically destroy your deployment.
Absolutely. You need to pay attention to what you need to add there.
So driver packages is where you'd solve that stuff, because it's ran, what, final pass?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. If you want to learn more, you can go to this site and find information about books, videos, trainings, stuff like that. Other than that, I have two more sessions this week around drivers, around customizing OSD. Thank you for taking your time.